the city of New Haven, Connecticut, where Dr. Philip Boone is the senior pastor. Stay tuned for the Word of God to be taught by the man of God, Dr. Philip Boone, senior pastor of the Cathedral of Higher Praise.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, church. Good morning to you, those that are out there looking at the broadcast today. To those of you who will be listening later on to the message today on the church app. I'm praying that God is continuing to bless you, and that over the course of the last week since we last spoke, that things have begun to work out more in your favor. This morning, before I start, there's two items I'd like to say. Yesterday, we celebrated the life of a great man of God, Bishop King D. Morrison, Jr. And we had a homegoing service for him. And although it wasn't the service we could have anticipated a year ago, 6 months ago, it was in the order in which God allowed it to happen. We're grateful for his life. We wanted to always give people flowers before they pass away, not when they have already passed and then we're trying to build them up into something that they were, or sometimes they were not. And I also like to say that this morning I got a praise report from Sister Sandra Williams, who had been affected by the COVID. And she sent me a message this morning that she's praising the Lord that the ventilator is off and she is going to be going home in the next couple of days. So we thank the Lord because we have been praying for her so much, and God is so good. He's not there all the time. It might not seem like he's there all the time when you call him, but he's there right on time. Amen? And that's very important this morning because when I think about the message that the Lord gave me to preach this morning, I thought about this culture, this, the way that we live, the way that we think. And we live in this culture today. We live in a climate that is obsessed with saving time. We always got to have information right at our fingertips. When you look at your phone, you're getting all of these blurbs, all of these news alerts, almost the moment it happens. You can look at a little device and you can say, "Hey Siri, tell me what's the population of Tristan da Cunha." And you won't even know what that is, but that just happens to be the most remotest city in the earth. But that Siri can tell you the population of that location. That location is so remote, it only gets mail once a year. I can talk to a device called Google Assistant. I can say, "Hey, Google, find this song and play it for me." And it will find it and it'll play it for me. I can say, "Google, what's the weather going to be outside?" And Google will tell me the weather in the city in which I'm located. I don't even have to turn on the news. I don't have to put on the TV. I can just speak it out into the atmosphere and I can get the answer that I'm looking for. I can say, "Alexa," and Alexa will want to know how it can help me today in whatever capacity. And when we think over time, just over 100 years ago, it would take people months on a ship to go from England to Canada or England to China. Today, you don't even have to get on a ship. You can physically, virtually be there in a twinkling of an eye. If I wanted to talk to my family members, whether they're in Virginia, California, Dallas, Georgia, I can FaceTime them, and we're looking right at each other. Even today, as we're doing this broadcast, I'm here in New Haven, Connecticut at Cathedral of Higher Praise, and you're wherever you are. There's some people down in New York that are looking at this. There's some people down in Virginia that are looking at this. There's some people up in Hartford, up in Waterbury that are looking at this broadcast right now. It's amazing that we could be somewhere and be somewhere else at the same time. We don't even read books any longer. We put the book on the app, and the app reads the book to us. We live in a world where time management and efficiency is of extreme importance. I remember many years ago, I used to write my grandma, and I'd write her a letter, and I'd be waiting for that return letter because I know she put $2 in there. Today, I would say, Grandma, you don't have to send me $2, just cash at me. And right away, that money would be there. We realize that life is short. And since life is short, we like to take a lot of shortcuts. When you think about it, our life is filled with icons where it doesn't explain what it is, but we figure out the picture. Our life is filled with text messaging where we don't write words out. We give a glimpse of what it is, and we figure out what it means. Sometimes we don't even do that. We just send a little emoji that has an emotional picture that says what it is that we feel. We like to take shortcuts. I know sometimes going home, we want to find the shortest route home. And have you ever taken that short route home and found out that it's really a longer route than what you thought it would be? See, I like taking shortcuts when I go home because I get lost a lot of times. But the times that I get lost, I do find out something. I find out another way to get home. My wife likes to say, ask somebody, but I like to say, no, let me find out where I'm going. That way, the next time I'm around that place, I'll figure out and I'll know which way to go. We think like that today where we want to use shortcuts for everything and we want to get things done quick. So, I say to you this morning, we expect God to be the same way. And when God is not the same way, we say that God is inefficient or God is slow. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God knows what he's doing. And his perspective is different than our perspective. In Isaiah 46 and 10, he says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times. What is still to come, I say. My purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. If I had a modern interpretation of that, my modern interpretation of that would be, you could say what you want to say. I'm going to do what I want to do when I'm ready to do it. But from our time-bound perspective, we seem to think that since we have a limited amount of time, that because God takes his own time, that we're wasting a lot of time. But here's something I want you to always be aware of. That the God we serve is not in a time capsule. The God that we serve is outside of time. So your infinite thinking of time has nothing to do with the magnificent God that we serve. We need to be faithful to the Lord regardless of how much time things take. We need to know his ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55, 8 to 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So this morning, I turn to Exodus, the 13th chapter, and I go to verses 17 and 18. And it reads as thus. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their mind and return to Egypt. So God led the people around the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. What impressed me about this passage is that God didn't lead the people through the shortest way. He preferred a way that was a bit longer. The Israelites were beginning their journey to the promised land. And as they began that journey, we know that their spirits were very high. They knew that anything that they would have to encounter, they were ready for it. At least they thought so. They were very confident of their power to endure the trials. As a matter of fact, they were probably saying to one another, we can do this. Have you ever been in a situation where you looked at an obstacle and you just said, I can do this? But somebody with a little more experience than you would look at you and try to explain some things to you. But in your heart, what you see, you said, I can do this. Well, the Israelites was in this situation where they felt like they could do this. But God knew their deficiencies. He knew that there were all kinds of circumstances connected with their personalities. And when he searched their hearts, and this is very important, when he searched their hearts, he knew and he realized and he saw that their faith was feeble. Now, when your faith is feeble, that means as you come across different circumstances, all of a sudden, your faith gets weaker and weaker and weaker. Because the scripture said that he gave them another way to go because he thought that if they came across something, that they would turn around and go back to Egypt. The scripture also said, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country. When you look up the word Philistine, it is a person that is hostile or indifferent to culture and arts. A person who has no understanding of this. And it was the Philistines who lay between the Israelites and the promised inherited land. The Philistines, they were brave people. They were warlike people. They were always looking for a fight. Have you ever seen somebody always looking for a fight? Always have that chip on their shoulder. The Philistines always had that chip on its shoulder. They were always ready to fight. God knew that as numerous, as many people as the Israelites had, that they were not prepared for that kind of battle. And if they got into that battle, that they would not succeed. So therefore, the Lord, God, put them around a different way. It wasn't the shortest way, but it was a safer way. The Israelites didn't even have weapons. I don't know how, the scripture says the Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. How could you be ready for battle and you don't have the weapons to fight a battle? So I'm going to stop right there for a minute because we know that the enemy is always fighting against us. The Bible says we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spirits, demonic spirits in high places. How can we go out and battle and we don't have the right kind of warfare, the right kind of armor? The Israelites did not have the right kind of armor. Therefore, God sent them around another way. God could do whatever it is that he wanted to do. Here's what God could have done. God could have got Israel to have peace with the Philistines. But he didn't do that. God could have given the Israelites courage to defeat the Philistines. But he didn't do that. God used this procedure so that the Israelites could get moral discipline. He avoided the nearest way to the promised land and led them the way of the wilderness. Not only did he choose that his chosen tribe should avoid the shortest way, but that they should pass through another danger, which was the Red Sea. You see, if God had given the Israelites the courage to fight the Philistines, then the Israelites would have felt that they accomplished this and not God. But God chose for them to go through the Red Sea, where the glory of God, the greatness of God, had to be shown. And there's no way to answer, no way to know, except to say that it had to be God. Because everything is for God's glory and not ours. Sometimes we get it a little twisted, but everything is for the glory of God. God showed them a way to go that could be shown as a result of his wisdom. The Bible says in Exodus 13 and 21 that he led them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It was God's providence. It was God's wisdom to create this path for the Israelites that they should get to the promised land. So I say to you today, has not God contradicted your desires? Is there something that you desire and God said, that's not for you? And many times we come up against God and we wonder why God did not allow something to happen or why God didn't straighten something out for us. But we should never go against the wisdom of God, because his wisdom is greater than ours. We are on this journey of life, and we are passengers on this ship. We are ignorant of God's navigation for our lives. We cannot direct the course of this ship, but the shipmaster knows the rocks, and we must let him navigate. We can build any ship that we want to build, but it's going to sink if God didn't allow us and God didn't give us directions for that ship. We could go back to the Titanic and we remember that it was unsinkable. But what they didn't see above land was below the ocean. And God knew that that was there because he created everything. But if God navigated that ship, would it have sank? But man built something, quote unquote, that was unsinkable. When we look at things today, man creates and do things that are unfathomable that we might not have thought could be done 100 years ago, but we, through progress, we're able to do it. But it does not have anything to do with the awesomeness of God. And many times we let our own thinking get the best of us and forget that God is the master and he's the creator. Man cannot create world. Man cannot create the environment. Man cannot create the perfectness in which God created this earth and this world. The only thing man can do is destroy it, which we're doing a pretty good job of. Sometimes we get on this little trip of ours, and most of us do, and we sail off into life. And we give it a timetable. We give our lives timetable. We expect to have a job by the age of X. We believe that we should get married by the time of XX. We are led to believe that we should start a family and have children by XXX. And we think at a certain point in our lives we're going to make XXXXX amount of money. And then we believe that we should live XXXXX amount of years. I'm not telling you today that it's an illogical plan. We might have things planned out in the environment and the world in which we live. We might think that our plan is fine. In this case, the Israelites thought their plan was fine. But in your life, God might have another plan for you. Sometimes as time is going by and by, we see our lives drifting away and we start to think that I didn't get to do this and I didn't get to do that. And we wonder, why are we in this wilderness where of this Red Sea where our life is going away and all the things that we planned did not get achieved? When you put your hand in the hand of the master, you realize that it's not about your plan. It's about God's plan. Years ago, if you had told me I would be doing this job that I'm doing now, I would have told you that it's impossible. But not only me, other people would have said the same thing too. But with God, impossible is nothing. I had planned my life in a way that was outside of the realm of doing ministry. Maybe in the same way that you planned your life. But my life didn't turn out the way that I thought that it would. And your life might not turn out the way that you think or thought that it would. But you don't know, and you never know. But the one that sits on high sees everything. And things always turn out the way that he wants them to turn out. You might have planned your life in the way that the Israelites planned theirs. Who doesn't want instant success? Who doesn't want instant solutions? Who doesn't want to have problems solved immediately? If you had a choice between a spiritual battle that would last 15, 20, or 30 years slowly, or would you rather have an instant battle? One that you won easily and quickly, I'm sure that you would take the quick one. But there's this magnificent creator called God. And God has a way of always taking us on the scenic route. We get on the scenic route and not the shortest route. God's way of dealing with us is to teach us his purpose, to teach us to trust him, to teach us to glorify him. The Bible is clear that God doesn't seem to be in a hurry the way we are. He takes his time. For example, he told Abraham when he was 75 years old that he was going to give him a son. Now, at 75 years old, I'm going to have a son? He says, yes, Abraham, you're going to have a son. Well, I'm sure Abraham was looking for that son. But it took another 25 years when Abraham was 100 for that son to come through. The scenic route is not the most efficient route to get there. The scenic route don't always make sense to us. Why didn't God give Abraham a son when he was 25? Why did he promise him when he was 25 and give him Isaac when he was 30? Think of all those wasted years in our perspective. Abraham could have thought that I could have been running laps with my boy. I could have went and showed him how to fish. We could have learned to hunt animals together. But that wasn't in God's plan. God wanted Abraham to have him at an elderly age. It would have been easier for Joseph that after he resisted Potiphar's wife advances toward him, if he had been awarded the number two job in the land. But he spent years in the dungeon in Egypt before God made him number two. God's scenic route takes longer. Sometimes it's a difficult route. The scenic route is the most beautiful route. The reason God's scenic route, he uses it for his saints, is because in the long run, as you're going on that route, you realize that God is there with you. If Israel had traveled straight into Canaan, if God has taken out the Canaanites, they would have settled into a comfortable life. I look at some of the things that are going on right now. I think we were living a very comfortable life. As a matter of fact, it was so comfortable, we didn't even know how comfortable it was. And when you don't know how comfortable God has made something for you, you tend to complain. To me, some of the complaints I used to have, I don't hear those complaints any longer. Some of the things that we took for granted, I don't see people taking them for granted any longer. You can't just walk out of your house and go get in your car and go to the store any longer. You can't just go to the bank any longer. You got to schedule an appointment. To go to the store, you got to put a mask on. Before you get in, you got to stand in line. You look at those lines sometime at various times of the day, those lines are long. Some of us can't even work for money. We got to wait for people to send money to us. God's purpose for taking us down the scenic route is to teach us to trust in him and glorify him. I'll say that again because I really want you to understand that God's purpose for taking us through the scenic route is to teach us to trust in and glorify him. There wasn't a lot of trust going around in circles in God. But oh, such a time as this, people are learning to trust him a little bit more. When people get hit with the virus and other illnesses, you learn to trust in God a little bit more. When somebody has gone through something, oh, you learn to praise him just a little bit more. This human race that we live in, at a certain point in time, it seemed to like try to claim its independence from God. But you can't claim independence from the master. You can't claim independence from the one who created everything. We want to try to save ourselves and have a hand in the process. But God is saying, I'm doing this and the glory is all mine. We always like to have our two cents saying this so we can say we had something to do with it. God is showing us that he has everything to do with everything. God says in Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another. You can't take credit for anything that's going on right now. And all the blessings that are going on, even though you're having somewhat of a difficult time, you're having a difficult time because if you're not sick, it's a change that you have to go through. It's a change in what was once normal. But God is still making a way for you to have food to eat. God is still making a way for you to have a roof over your head. God is still making a way for you to get medicine if you need medicine. He is still making a way. But how you get it is different from your old normal way. So you still got to trust in him. And you still got to glorify him. And you still have to say that God is good. We say to God, God, you have deferred my hope. But let me say this to you. Deferral don't mean denial. If God made a promise to you, he's not one that he should lie. So I encourage you today that God did not give up on you. And you should not give up on God. Because God never changes. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. The God that told Moses to take those people through the scenic route, to go through the Red Sea, that same God that created that miracle is the same God that's here today. Don't give up. Don't be defeated for nothing as long as you're a child of God. It was not God's concern, and even today it's not his concern to take us through the quickest way to get through the things that we're going through. But it's the way that it's a scenery that we shall not forget. It's a scenery that we should know and remember in our hearts and our minds. It's a scenery that we know that God knows what's best for us. Do you know that the shortest way is not always a way that you can handle? Have you ever thought that if things came to you the way that you planned it, that you might not need God or think that you don't need God? Have you ever thought that if you got things too quickly, that you would return to your own Egypt again? I pray that after this whole scenario is over, that we don't return to our old Egypt again. I pray when all of these things that we have to go through, they're not laws, but all of these handicaps that we have today, that we don't return to our old Egypt again. There's more praying going on now than there have been in a long, long time. I pray that we don't go back to the old Egypt again. There's people believing in God like they never believed in God before. I pray that we don't go back to our old Egypt again. We're taking time with our families like we've never taken it before. I pray that we don't go back to our old Egypt again. Husbands and wives and spending more time with one another. I pray that we don't go back to our old Egypt again. I pray that we realize that change is necessary so that we don't go back to our old Egypt again. I pray that we realize that as long as we're here on this earth, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and we lean not on our own understanding again. I want you to know that everything is turning out the way that God planned this. For God is leading the way for us right now. God is going to provide a resting place for us. The resting place is not going to be approved by man, but it is going to be approved by God. God is not going to put us through a war. He's not going to put us through any trial or tribulation until he trains us for us. Right now, we are going through a training process. Because you can't fight a battle unless you've been trained. Maybe this is the boot camp for the rest of our lives. Maybe this is the training period where God tells us you need to be trained to use the weapons of warfare that I have given you, the tools that you need to become proficient in. God's special care for his church is to keep us to not retreat to the bondage that we had before. You know, we were in my bondage before. The bondage is that if things don't work out the way that I want them to, that my mindset is to go back to where I was before, where it was more comfortable. But God wants you to rely on him. The people outside are going to say, oh, that's not wise. Well, God's ways is not wise to humans, but it is wise to God. That's why he gave you that way. They might say to you, oh, that's not a safe way to go. But God's way is always safe. They might say, that's not the selected way to go. That's not the way that I would go. But when you let God lead your life, God will send you on the selected way. The selected way is the scenic route. The selected way is a way of wilderness. The selected way might be rough. In the selected way, it might be some unexpected things. In the unexpected way, there's going to be some testing. But the selected way is the best way. When you go in the way of the wilderness, you are divinely led into it. Moses was divinely led. Joseph was divinely led. Abraham was divinely led. The disciples were divinely led. Paul was divinely led. Jesus was divinely led. He said, I come not to do my will, but I come to do the will of the one that sent me. We have to expect difficulties. We'll realize that things might not be too comfortable in it. But in it, we're going to develop patience. We're going to develop persistence. Stand up and walk in the way of the Lord today. Don't care for tomorrow. Let God lead your life. Today, God orders salvation to those that will listen. God wants to transform you out of your bondage that you're in. Even though we consider where we're at a bondage, there's some other bondages that are going on right now. Your bondages are being exposed right now. And not only can you see the bondages that you're under, the people that are around you, that you're stuck in your quarantine, they can see your bondages as well. You see, when you had a chance to run out all the time, people couldn't see what it is that you were going through and what you were doing. But right now, God has exposed you. And it's a time for us to be reckoned with ourselves to the Lord. So I say to you today, if you don't know the Lord, open up your heart and let him in. If you got some bondages that you're going through, if you keep returning back to your Egypt, open up your heart to the Lord and let him in and let him lead you and let him guide you. So I'm going to pray this prayer. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads wherever you are. And we're going to pray today that whatever bondage that you're in, that bondage is broken. And we're going to pray today that whatever route God leads you on, it might be longer, But you have the persistence and you have the trust in him to walk that path. Father, as we come to you on bended knee today, Lord, we lift our hands up to you and we praise your holy name. Father, we ask you to forgive us of all of our sins. Father, we ask you to come into our hearts. We ask you, Lord, to lead us and to guide us in the name of Jesus. Father, we know that when we trust in you, we realize that your ways are not our ways and your thoughts are not our thoughts. But God, where you lead me, I will follow and I will trust in you. Father, because you know what's best for me in my life. Father, you have already written that you know the end to the beginning, and you have already written it. And Father, I realize that it's up to me to choose the path that I choose to go. That is to follow you, Lord, and be led by your Spirit. And I know, Lord, that regardless of situations, regardless of circumstances, regardless of what people say, regardless of all the opposition I will go up against, I can do all things through you, Christ, who will strengthen me. Knowing, Lord, that you said that you never leave me nor forsake me. And by your Holy Spirit, you'll continue to guide and to comfort me. So I bless your name today. I give you all praise. I give you all honor. And all glory is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray that you have been moved, and I pray that you have been touched. And I pray that you open up your heart and let him in today. For today is your day of salvation.
You have been listening to the Cathedral of Higher Praise with Pastor Dr. Philip Boone. To contact the church or Dr. Boone, please write the Cathedral of Higher Praise, 155 Grand Avenue, New Haven, Connecticut, 06513, or call at 203-776-7676. That's 203-776-7676. Or contact the cathedral online at www.cathedralofhigherpraise.org. That's www.cathedralofhigherpraise.org. For Dr. Philip Boone and the Cathedral of Higher Praise family, I've been Brother Johnny Williams. Until we meet again, in Jesus' name, amen.